There are two things, according to scholars, that would take a peace from everyone's heart, or two things that many people are afraid of. What is it that you are afraid of? One, the topmost thing that many people would be scared of is death. And the second one is standing before a crowd. Do you have that courage standing before a crowd? There was this high school student, I know a high school graduate. He was told to pursue a career in teaching, but his mind was just not responding very well when they told him, pursue a career in teaching, it's very promising, because he was really very scared of standing before a crowd. He knew that he can easily pass courses in teaching, but the requirement of standing before students is what scared him. It's not what he would be learning in college. But eventually, that high school graduate ended up working standing before a crowd. Well, we most often don't want to pursue a promising career for us because of fear. Now, somebody might say, you pursue a career in be a pilot, but that person may be scared of heights. Some people may ask you to pursue a career in nursing or in medical field, but because you are scared of blood, you don't want to be in that field. These days, career in teaching is scary. Did you know that? It's scary in North America. Students have been favored more than teacher. And if you are very aware of what's happening in the United States, that's more far much scarier. One thing that could hamper, that could hold back from advancing one's career is the fear of the unknown. You don't know what would await you in that career path. When a person is scared, just look at yourself. When you are apprehensive of what might happen along the way, it promotes tentativeness. There's indecisiveness. You don't want to go to that path because you are indecisive. You are scared, you are tentative, you doubt. The fear of what might possibly happen could interfere . You will have hesitation to move forward. You don't want to move forward because what if? That big what if can truly limit our opportunity to advance in our career. For example, or anything that may happen to you. For example, this happens to every young man. I don't know for anyone, but a young man may not dare, he won't dare to express his feeling to a young girl, young lady, if he is scared that he will be ignored. I won't say that. Even if his friends, I know you like her. Tell her that you love her. No, I won't say that. Why? She might laugh at me. She might ignore me. And that stuff, right? Or a job applicant, the one who is looking for a career, may be apprehensive to apply for a job, especially first-time applicants. That he might not be able to present his ideas convincingly. So when there's apprehension on the heart, it's tough. That's tough to process. Similarly, we as believers, we are mandated to share the gospel of Christ. But because we are very concerned, like for example at work, we are very concerned that our boss may caught us, our boss may not like us sharing the gospel of Christ, then we would rather keep our job than telling others about hope and peace that Christ gave us. Or we don't want to attend Sunday school. Why don't you attend Sunday school? Oh, I'm scared they might ask me questions that I can't answer. That is the reason we attend Sunday school, so that you may learn how to answer questions. What if they would let me lead the Sunday school? There is a reason we have Sunday school, so that you would practice leading. That is, it's not only about learning about the Bible that we have Sunday school. It's also about opportunity for us to speak before a small group and express our ideas or ask questions. And eventually, slowly but surely, would enable us to become leaders, even as small groups. That small group starting from 5, 2, 3, 4, 5, and would increase to bigger numbers. What terrifies you in sharing the gospel of Christ? What is it that would that you are apprehensive of in testifying about your faith in Christ? When one is frightened, when one is scared to share the gospel of Christ, friends, that is a practical proof of the absence of the Holy Spirit in your life. If you are scared of sharing the gospel of Christ, the Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit. Meaning, Lord, you pray, Lord, I'm scared. Then the Lord would say, that is not what I give you. I give you the Spirit for you to have power, for you not to be timid. This is what Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read together, for the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but give us power, love, and self-discipline. Now, friends, do you sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Or do you sense that timidity limits us from opportunities of accomplishing what God has designed for us? Now, God might be preparing you to advance in your career, but because you are so timid, you won't tell your boss what is right, what is best for the work that you have. I know of a man who took the exam of becoming to be promoted. He passed this exam, but when the boss asked him, do you really like to be in this position? The young man said, no, I just try to take the exam if I can pass. The reason was that he knew that position, he would be asked to stand before a group and tell them the ideas that they need to do, become a team leader of a group. And that was what he was scared of. Therefore, the boss was not very serious of him because of that. Although the boss knew that the young man was a very bright person. But because of fear, timidity, he did not get that position. So pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit 24/7 if you would. If you are awake, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. If you are about to go to sleep, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. When you wake up, ask, fill me with your Holy Spirit. We may not understand everything why we need the Holy Spirit, but for sure, the thing that we don't understand is what we need of the Holy Spirit. It's the reason we need the Holy Spirit. No fear of the unknown. You won't be scared of the unknown. What if? You won't say what if from then on. But if you still have that what if, big what if question mark in your mind, meaning you need to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. In our passage, the life story of Apostle Paul is a biblical documentary of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The experiences that he had were documented by Dr. Luke for us to know how the grace of God worked in the life of Apostle Paul. And that grace that Apostle Paul had experienced, we too as believers experience it when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul was very bold. He was very courageous in testifying about his experience, not because he was a huge man, not because he had a lot of connection. Actually, he has a lot of connection in Jerusalem, but he was still persecuted. So, what is connection can do to him? What did connection do for him to be safe in Jerusalem? His connection was the very group of people who persecuted him. And non-believer commander was the one God used as instrumental for him to realize that it's not about the connection that he was so courageous of sharing the gospel in Jerusalem, but because of the grace of God. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Sanhedrin, that should be his connection, that should give him that courage to stand before a crowd, were the ones who persecuted him. And the commander of the Roman Empire, who did not confess that he believed in God, he saw nothing to charge him that deserves death. He was actually the one whom God used as instrument to keep him safe. Let's read again verse 25 to 30. He wrote a letter as follows: Claudius Lysias, to His Excellency Governor Felix, greetings. This man was seized by the Jews, and they were about to kill him, but I came with my troops and rescued him, for I had learned that he is a Roman citizen. I wanted to know why they were accusing him, so I brought him to their Sanhedrin. I found that their accusation had to do with the questions about their law, but there was no charge against him that deserves death or imprisonment. When I was informed of a plot to be carried out against the man, I sent him to you at once. I also ordered his accusers to present to you their case against him. Governor Felix was the current governor of Judea. At that time, he did not live in Jerusalem. He lived in Caesarea, although he would come to Jerusalem from time to time. It could be that the reason he stayed in Caesarea was because the Sanhedrin in in Jerusalem were too influential, and he did not want any political manifestation of how he ruled Judea. And he assigned Claudius Lysias, the commander, to maintain peace and order in Jerusalem. So reflect on this. Why was the commander, Claudius Lysias, why was he so concerned about the peace, the safety and security of Apostle Paul? What benefits him to stake or use his authority, his political connection, just to make sure that Paul will be secured? Do you think it was God's way to teach us that he can use unlikely personalities to accomplish his purposes in the life of Paul in this situation? The commander might have perceived a possible riot in Jerusalem. If there's riot in Jerusalem, it would be better to remove Apostle Paul in Jerusalem. If there's riot in Jerusalem, it would put him in bad reputation or bad career. It would make a stain in his career. And if he cannot maintain peace and order in Jerusalem, he might be removed from his post. Now you know what's happening on the other side of the border. When there's riot in a city, what would the mayor or what would the government do first? He would just kick the chief of police, right? And that's what they do, because they think the chief of police do not have any power or knowledge of maintaining peace and order. In Caesarea, the Sanhedrin had a lesser influence, political influence, whereas in Jerusalem, they have more followers. The Sanhedrin have more followers, and they can easily influence any political ruler there, because most of the time, politicians are easily bribed, and the Sanhedrin can collect much money and bribe a politician out there. And that was perhaps the reason Governor Felix stayed in Caesarea, to avoid those bribing from the politicians in Jerusalem. Well, Apostle Paul may have planned, and actually he went on with this plan to testify about the Lord's work in his life in to the Jewish people in Jerusalem. But the Lord has other plan. He allowed it to happen, but the Lord has other plan. It was an opportunity for the commander, the non-believer commander, who was a Gentile. He had benefited and learned from Apostle Paul's testimony. But why is it that the Bible did not talk about the life of the commander? Why is it? It was perhaps because the Lord wants Claudius Lysias to silently believe in the Lord, just like Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus and Joseph from Arimathea? They were silent believers, but they continued to have good influence in the Sanhedrin. And that would have been the reason that the Lord allowed Claudius Lysias' testimony not to be included in the Bible, so that his influence among the Roman Empire, Roman soldiers, would just be slowly but surely be grounded and grow strong. The commander became curious why the Sanhedrin accused Apostle Paul when there was no charge against Paul that deserves death and even imprisonment. Again, the Holy Spirit is at work in our life. When the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, there will always be opposition to discredit our testimony. If you are doing right before the Lord, expect that somebody out there would oppose you. But are you scared? Are you timid to testify about what the Lord had done in your life? So pray for to be filled with the Holy Spirit until you sense that empowerment. How do you sense that empowerment? You sense that joy, you sense that peace, you sense that hope. But don't force the issue, witnessing. So when there's hesitation, pause and pray. Lord, I'm scared. Admit to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do. Don't just plan and ask the Lord, oh, this is my plan, Lord. Your plan, if you have a plan before you pray, the devil had already a better plan than your plan to oppose your plan so that your plan would not succeed. So instead, ask the Lord first for the plan to fill you, to put in your mind, and that plan of the Lord would be successful. Your plan can easily be thwarted, can easily be stopped by the devil. So before you plan, pray before you plan. Ask the Lord to give you the plan. It could be that God would also give you the same plan. That could be possible. But for sure, if it comes from the Lord, that plan would be successful. So keep on praying. You will know it. You will know it that God had filled you with the Holy Spirit when God presents you His perfect time for you to witness. Pray for that. Lord, if you don't have that desire to witness, Lord, fill me the desire to witness. Until you sense that desire to witness, don't stop. Keep on praying, Lord, I'm scared. I'm timid. I'm just like, I don't have that desire, burning desire to witness, to tell about my faith in the Lord. So fill me with your Holy Spirit. Keep asking, keep praying. So take heart. The Holy Spirit would give us peace. He would give us courage. He would give us that right timing. And we would not regret anything, even when things seem to be not under control. Even when we perceive that, oh, this is going out of control. No, we still have that peace. We have that peace in your heart. Ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on and so forth. See? Peace, if you don't have that, ask the Holy Spirit. How about if we become disobedient, you might ask. Well, how about the disobedience of Jonah? If we are like Jonah, even if you are a believer, many believers are still disobedient. But let's recall the story of Jonah. The story of Jonah, Prophet Jonah, it tells us that Prophet Jonah, the Lord told him, go east and preach repentance, that I may forgive them, to the Ninevites. The Ninevites were formerly the residents of Iraq or Baghdad. The Nineveh was the present-day Baghdad. So they were the residents there. But instead of going east, Jonah paid a fare going west to Tarshish, to Spain. He was planning to go to Spain. He did not want the Ninevites to repent. Why? The Ninevites at the time, they were very proud people because they were prosperous. They are the conquerors of the world at the time of Jonah. And Jonah did not want them to repent. Why? He wants the Ninevites to experience the wrath, the anger of God for them. He wants them to be destroyed by the Lord. He wants them not to repent so that they would experience the wrath of God. But the plan of the Lord was for the Ninevites to repent. So Jonah ran away so that these Ninevites would not repent. But the plan of God for Jonah to preach in the city of Ninevites was still accomplished according to the plan of God. But God allowed him. God allowed him to disobey at the time, because the Lord has good plans too for the sailors of the ship that Jonah took on board in his escape from the Lord. Let's read Jonah chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. This was what happened after Jonah ran and aboard a ship. He cried out to the Lord, "Praise Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, you have done as you please." They took Jonah and threw him overboard the raging sea. So you know the story that when Jonah took that ship, aboard that ship, the Lord sent storm, and the storm did not stop until the sailors threw Jonah overboard. It's very sad to think that there are many Christians who run away from the command of the Lord. And like Jonah, we experience the worst nightmare inside the huge fish. Those who disobey the Lord bring anxiety and worry in their life. Keep that in mind. But God's plan will still be accomplished with or without our participation. But it would be better for us if we participate in the plan of God. It is not a secret that even pastors, church leaders, old timer in faith, they turn back serving the Lord when frustration, burnout overtakes their life. The Holy Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, not frustration. The Holy Spirit produces perseverance, not burnout. No one is exempted from frustration and burnout. Everyone would experience that because we humans have our limitation. We've got to recognize that. We've got to know. We've got to understand that we need the Lord our God. We cannot be on our own, especially for us Christians. This is another good reason that we need to rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. Christianity is the most wonderful life that we can have if only the Holy Spirit of Christ prevails in us, prevails over us, when He is in control in our life. We cannot save ourselves from frustration. We can experience that when our dreams fail, problem overtakes us. We experience burnout. Why was that? Because there's only one and only Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one in Savior, so that even from frustration and burnout, He would save us. Can you believe that? Believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ, they would recognize the Lord Jesus is the only Savior that we need. Christ can save us not only from the penalty of sin, nobody can do away with that except God. We cannot, no human can do the best they can, because a single sin is still a sin. But the Lord can easily save us from the penalty of sin. So he can save us even our reputation or any threat of the opposition. Today is the second Sunday of Advent celebration. We light the blue candle that represents peace, the green candle represents hope. Do you sense that hope? Do you sense that peace in your heart in the midst of threat of variant Omicron? No threat can scare us. If you are scared of Omicron, ask yourself, am I scared? There's no peace. Ask that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. No threat can scare us when the Holy Spirit prevails in us. We've got peace. Not frustration, not burnout, not scared, not fear. We've got peace, not fear. But in case you sense fear, again, pray and be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God until you sense His peace. Don't stop. Cry if you would, mourn if you would, but seek the peace of God that surpasses understanding. When you have peace, why are you so calm, brother, sister? Why are you so calm? Why are you not panicking? The Omicron is here already. Well, I have peace. What is that peace? Peace from God that surpasses understanding. You may not understand, but if you would believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's the opportunity to share the gospel, right? Just tell them, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You may not understand at once, but the Holy Spirit of Christ would help you. Just pray, ask the Holy Spirit of God to be in your life. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. You may not understand everything right now. That's the start of it, the start of everything. But if you want more, learn more about that, then join the Sunday school. Tell them. Then inform the leaders, this person wants to join you in the Sunday school. Or ask the leaders, ask somebody who can easily explain. No threat can scare us, just like no threat can scare Apostle Paul. Let's read again, verse 23, 24, and 31 to 35. Let's read together. Then he called two of his centurions and ordered them, get ready a detachment of 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at 9 tonight. Provide horses for Saul too, so that he may be taken safely to Governor Felix. So the soldiers carrying out their orders took Paul with them during the night and brought him as far as Antipatris. The next day they let the cavalry go on with him while they returned to the barracks. When the cavalry arrived in Caesarea, they delivered the letter to the governor and handed Paul over to him. The governor read the letter and asked that what province he was from. Learning that he was from Cilicia, he said, I will hear your case when you, our accuser, get here. Then he ordered that Paul be kept under guard in Herod's palace. Now, a while back, it says in verse 24, provide horses. Why not just one horse? Why many horses? Well, you can imagine that Paul might have been riding a chariot or something, or a cart for that the horse would pull. But if not, if you were watching Western movies about cowboys would bring with them two horses when they were traveling far. Why? Because when one horse is tired, they would ride the other horse so that the other horse would have rest, but they can continue to travel, something like that. So why did Lysias wanted them to provide horses, not just one horse? That could be the reason. And Jerusalem to Caesarea, is more or less 130 kilometers. How far is 130 kilometers? If you've been traveling to the United States, that's from here, in this sanctuary, to the border of US, Emerson. More or less 125 kilometers. It depends where you would pass through. So, in the city of Antipatris, that was halfway, was approximately half the distance, and the cavalry, or the 70 horsemen, continued and brought Apostle Paul to Caesarea. And the foot soldier returned to Jerusalem. The foot soldiers were the 200 spearmen. 200 spearmen are two detachments headed by two centurions. You know, now you understand much about centurion. Centurion comes from the word century. It's a variant of century, meaning if you are a centurion, you have 100 followers. So the two centurions, they have 200 followers. And wow, 130 kilometers divided by two, that is 65 kilometers. They walk 65 kilometers. How far is that? How far is 65 kilometers that they walk? How far can you walk in one day? If you are walking, fast walking, you might be able to walk about more or less 10 to 12 kilometers every hour. I don't know how far. Why did the soldiers sacrifice just to keep one person safe? Well, Apostle Paul had his companions too. And that could be also the reason that they provided more horses to Apostle Paul. So it's not only Apostle Paul, but also his companions, like Dr. Luke, who was recording this story. But for the soldiers to sacrifice to keep Apostle Paul safe, as Roman soldiers, they were trained to obey the commander without hesitation. So that is something that we can learn from. Soldiers are given the responsibility to promote peace and order. It's good to be reminded on our part to pray for our police officers and military personnel. Now for you drivers, whenever you see a police car there, what is it that you sense? You feel nervous? Oh, you become alert immediately, right? One night you were driving at Inkster, and then immediately, we don't know that the car before us was a police car. And then after turning to the to Mac Phillips, turning left to Mac Phillips, suddenly the police car turned on its siren, and the car before the police car just turned right, and I don't know what was the violation, but well, I was surprised. But I tried to sense my life, I sensed my heart, if I was nervous or something, but I thank God that He always remind me, even at times, need to turn your light signals. When you are turning left, turning right. If you don't turn that, some officers would just be, no, I don't know. It's not in their good mood. They will take you. Turning the light off when you turn left and turn left is a violation. You need to turn that light. Well, we have duty to pray for police officers as believers. We want to have peace and order in this city, right? They want that. If the police officers are blessed, if they are jolly and have no problems in their life, they can easily say, oh, okay, that's okay with me. They can easily let you pass. And if they are problematic, everything, they will see problem. And even to our politicians, we have duty to pray for our politicians. Those who are working in the Justice Department, you may not know that one day your friend would be standing before a judge. But because you are praying for that judge to be blessed, then your friend would be blessed too. The judge would give favorable decision to your friend, to your relatives. It may not be you. So it's one thing that we can pray. Or if your boss is standing before a judge because of any problem in their work, you are in trouble if your boss is incarcerated. Why? Your company will suffer. Pray for that. Pray for your boss too, right? Annually, we celebrate Thanksgiving. We celebrate every October. And we also celebrate every Remembrance Day. We pray. We thank God for those who sacrificed their lives. Why is it that we have that Remembrance Day? We celebrate people who died. They don't experience anymore that joy. They died. But still, we have holidays for that. How about having a holiday for the police officers and for the government officials? So that in their lifetime, while they are alive, they would sense that joy of serving. I don't understand, but what we can do is to pray for them. Pray that they would bless in their lifetime. And not just after they died. In this country, where there are so much that we can be thankful for. Are you thankful that you are in Canada and not in the Philippines? Yes. Praise God for one who is thankful. Abundance of food. Hindi ka magugutom dito kung marunong kang mag-fishing. Kung marunong ayaw mo, taturo ka sa mga marunong mamaril kayo ng mga usa dyan, daming mga usa. Baboy damo. It's free to hunt baboy ramo or boar. You can have that food too, right? Or if you are good, you plant. You cannot be hungry if you are industrious. There's freedom. There's peace. Do you sense that peace? Other countries have civil wars, lack of basic necessities. So during election, or not after election, after officials are elected, pray for elected officials. Pray for wisdom. Pray that they would be blessed. If the leaders in this city, in this province, in this country, have wisdom from God, our city, our province, our country will become more prosperous. Well, there are many issues about governance. And government officials have many problems to address. Say, for example, refugees from Afghanistan, refugees that are escaping the other border. How would politicians address those issues? Religious issues, just like now, we have been limited. Our right as citizens. What is their plan? Lack of employment opportunities? This is one thing that I would ask you to pray for. Whenever you remember the government, pray that the government, that the Lord would give the government wisdom, how investments would increase in our city. Keep praying, Lord, send more investors in this city, more job opportunities, even if you are employed, especially that you are employed. It's not for you. It's for other people, so that those other people may not take your job. And that is the problem of other groups. They say, you Filipinos are stealing our job, they say. Have you heard that statement? Because you Filipinos are more industrious than them, mas masipag kayo kaysa kanila. Mas mabait kayo kaysa sa kanila. Nakangiti kahit mayroong namamatay dyan, nagsiselfie pa. Pa-selfie pa, naka-smile. Funeral, naka-selfie. Ganyan ang Filipino, right? So let's pray that God would give wisdom to our government or to whoever is elected. Police officers, police enforcers, the legislators, the judiciary. In the time of King Solomon, there was peace and abundance in Israel. Is it possible in Canada? Is it possible in Winnipeg to have peace in abundance? In God, it is possible. When King Solomon, when Solomon was king, there was no problem of about employment. They don't have any problem who is for people looking for employment. Everyone was living in abundance. How is that? No one in Israel was stealing. Why was that? Everyone had more than enough. Why was that? There was peace. Why was that? Everything in Israel had indulged in during the king, the time of King Solomon. Everything that they experienced was granted by the Lord. So it is beneficial for us if our government leaders have wisdom from God, just like King Solomon had. What do you think? Let's recall that situation when King Solomon prayed to the Lord in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 to 15. This might be a passage that you want to remember for the days of your life. 2 Chronicles, recite. 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 7 to 15. Let's read. The night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered God, "You have shown great kindness to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people who are as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" God said to Solomon, "Since this is your heart's desire, and you have not asked for wealth, possession, or honor, nor for the death of your enemies, and since you have not asked for a long life, but for wisdom and knowledge to govern my people over whom I made you king, therefore wisdom and knowledge be given you, and will also give you wealth, position, and honor, such as no king who was before you ever had, and none after you will have." Then Solomon went to Jerusalem from high place at Gibeon, from before the tent of meeting, and he reigned over Israel. Solomon accumulated chariots and horses. He had 14,000 chariots, 12,000 horses, which he kept in the chariot cities and also with him in Jerusalem. The king made silver and gold as common in Jerusalem, and as stones and cedars as plentiful, and sycamore fig trees in the foothills. It's hard to imagine, right? 14,000 chariots. 14,000 chariots at the time is like SUV, sports utility vehicles in our generation. 14,000 SUV? That's how many vehicles Solomon had. And it says, he made silver and gold as common. It's common. It's maybe everyone had gold and silver. Meaning, you do not need to steal because everyone has their gold, had their silver. And perhaps merchants wanted to go and trade in Jerusalem because of that. The people are rich, so they just go to Jerusalem and sell their products. Well, how is that applicable in our situation? Whatever situation that the Lord had given you, your situation is a perfect place for you to experience the blessing of God. So ask for wisdom. What is my situation? If you are a student, ask for wisdom. If you are an employee, ask the Lord for wisdom, how you may do. "Oh Lord, this work is so tough for me. Give me wisdom." Instead of, Lord, I pray for increase of salary and promotion. That is similar to asking for wealth. But Solomon did not ask, but the Lord added it to him when he asked for wisdom. Wisdom is much precious than wealth. Meaning, if you have that wisdom from God, that wealth is just will just follow. Interestingly, the name Solomon means peaceful. Let me follow that varo again, that popular word variant. Variant. Solomon is a variant of Shalom, which means peaceful. And God gave peace in Israel in the time of King Solomon. Solomon never went to war. He did not have to go to war because there was peace, even at the surrounding nations. Why? He married the princesses of surrounding nations. He was wise. Other nations had respect and perhaps scared of King Solomon, because why would they invade King Solomon? Their daughter was there in Jerusalem. So pray that God would give wisdom also to our government officials, our prime minister. You may not agree with Justin Trudeau because he is more handsome than you. You may not agree because he is much taller than you. But he needs wisdom. Or our premier, she is much popular than you. She needs wisdom. Our mayor, our police officer, continue to pray. Pray for wisdom, even for our church leaders. Don't complain. Instead, pray. Let's pray that elected officials would be given wisdom. Officials in the government, officials or leaders in the church. Make it a habit to pray regularly for our government officials and church leaders. That's my prayer. Someone said, we Christians, we have no right to complain about church leaders or government officials if we are not praying for them. If we are praying for them, for our church leaders, government officials, we have no time to complain about them.